But it is great to welcome you to the services of the Mooresville Church of Christ. It's a beautiful day outside, as I've already mentioned, and beautiful inside. But nevertheless, we're here on special business this morning, and I hope that we all are encouraged to do the will of God, will of Christ, more so as we leave today than we were as coming in. That every day that we might grow and be edified and exhorted to do God's will, because we are here on earth for a purpose, and it's time that we all recognize what it is. The yoke of Christ, the right yoke. I like that word right. It has a lot of meaning in itself, just as yoke and a lot of other things do. But we have to choose the right yoke. And this is something that binds together, bonds us together. And I was reminded a couple of weeks ago now, or like in a day or two there, as they told us about President Bush. His wife Barbara was dying. She'd chosen not to receive any more treatment. And the last day of her life and his life with her, they held hands. They said they held hands all day until she died that afternoon. There was a bond there. A great bond, a bond that had started when she was about 16 years old, and it had stayed and remained fresh and remained part of their lives throughout all of the busy things that they went through during their, you know, over 90 years of her life, of course about 72 of them together. But they had chosen each other. We have chosen, I believe most of us here this morning, Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, because He is our Lord and Savior. And so many in the world choose to follow things of the world. But when we come together, it is to worship and serve God. And that is starting with the right yoke to Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 11. We read these words, which we've heard so often. And I was reminded of this lesson when, oh, it hadn't been more than, what, 4 or 5 weeks ago, Dennis did the same lesson. From the same scripture, you know, Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So you see here there was a call by Jesus Christ. And it's universally known that the life of Christ impresses a yoke upon His followers. It's something that we have to choose. It is there, but we choose it. And you look at an audience so many times or often, and you know that there are those in that audience that have never chosen Jesus Christ to be yoked with Him. They're not as if holding hands with Christ. They haven't chose all of Christ yet. They know He's there. They know there's a God of heaven and earth. But they haven't chose Christ to follow Him and Him only. Their responsibilities, their duties, are things that must be accepted. We have to accept them. We can't change them. We need not try to change them. That was not in the plan of God. But when we consider and look out at other peoples of the world, we realize that they haven't chosen Christ. They're not yoked together with Christ in their lives and in their purposes. But the manner of life is a yoke. First of all, we have to consider who Jesus Christ is. He is the Messiah, the Son of God, that has came here that we can have salvation. You know, he died that we can have salvation. He died that we could to pay the price, the ransom price for sin. It is known, it was always by God, that sin must be paid the price. We have to be redeemed, and He has paid that price with the shedding of His blood. So we have to stand fast in this doctrine that comes from Jesus Christ. A Christian, in his manner of life, is to glorify God. not glorify the world, all of these things of the world. Many of these things that we can do on this earth do help us glorify God, and we do glorify God when we prepare ourselves to do His will. But we must, in our repentance, change from the affairs of life that we once lived to the affairs of, you know, living for God through Jesus Christ. Turning from this life and turning from sin unto a life of serving Christ. That's the basic of repentance. And we have to repent. You can't even please God if you don't repent, if you're a person that never has repented. Nay, I tell you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13, verse 3. So it is there. And our manner of life and everything must show that which is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1, 27. We adorn the things of righteousness, the things of holiness. Is that the way you're living your life? Is that the way I'm living my life? Adorning the things of righteousness and holiness. What are those things? We don't lie, we don't cheat, we don't steal. Well, those things are natural to anybody. Perhaps loves these things. But we go on under the things that build us up in holiness. And we'll touch on a few of these this morning. It's a great, wonderful that we have this book in front of us that can direct our lives. The yoke, the true yoke, is a doctrine. Perhaps it even begins with doctrine. The doctrine of God, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. That's the things that we teach, the things that we follow. Where is the doctrine? Some people think we can go down here and sit beside the lake and listen to the birds tweet in the trees. Listen for whatever it is out there. The fish are biting or whatever. You hear the eagle or something off in the distance building a nest, or the hawks screaming, or the crows crowing. These are things that some people would tell you are part of God, and that is God's stuff. It's His creation, but that's not the doctrine. The doctrine is here in this book, and we have to rightly divide the book. I'm not a Jew. You're not a Jew. I don't live under the Mosaic law. That's the law that brought us to Christ. That's the law that He came to earth through or by and lived under the days of His life here. But that law has been nailed to the cross. Read the book of Colossians and study these things and how when you obey the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1 verse 16, then you know that this is something that will bring you into Christ. The gospel itself, that's the doctrine that you must have as your yoke. It has to be there. No way around it at all. But we are to be in remembrance of the things of the Lord. People are so often arguing about things that they don't know much about in the first place. But they're arguing about things that just subvert the gospel of Christ. It undermines it, if you please. But we ought to give our diligence, study to show thyself approved unto God. Do you want to be accepted by God? Do you want to have the true yoke of Jesus Christ, the right yoke in your life? Then study this book. There are people that know more about, you know, the statistics of quarterback Newton down here at the Charlotte football team than they do about the gospel of Jesus Christ or about the book, the New Testament. They don't know anything about it. All they know is it starts with Matthew and they think that Revelation is the end of it. And they cannot make the connection between the things of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John and that of Revelation. They do not know and do not really care. But when you want to be yoked with Christ and He, to, you know, God, this brings us into God, this study to show this book. Know it. Know it from front to back and so on like that. Linda had a great aunt, and every once in a while things come to mind that she said, and we weren't around her much, but she loved to study the Bible, Dennis mentioned a little while ago, one religious group had left a tract at his door there somewhere. But these same people came to her door one time. And, you know, they knock like that when they get there, which is fine. Let them knock. But anyway, they said, "We've come to study the Bible with goods," and I'm ready. She said, "Come on in. I got my Bible out now. You have a seat there." And she invited them in. But when she opened her Bible, it wasn't long till they was going out the door. This is true. They went out the door. She knew more about the Bible than all of them put together. And she understood it right. She wasn't just quoting things from memory. She knew what the Bible was teaching. That we came into this world and we sin and we don't get right with God by obeying His word, we'll never be right in eternity. God did not forgive Adam and Eve there in the Garden of Eden for the one sin. He didn't forgive them for that one sin right there, did he? The redemption had to come way years later through Jesus Christ. If they were faithful to the death, then God will judge them by that. But he could have said, "Oh, yeah, I'll be a merciful God. That's fine. It's fine, Adam. It's fine, Eve. I know you forgot." That's the way we do a little child. We can do that to our little children, our, you know, sons and daughters. But God is going to hold us accountable. Grab the yoke of Christ, the doctrine that can give us salvation. Earnestly contend for the faith, the way, once delivered to the saints. And that way you'll be complete and be right and be entire. But some people don't handle the scriptures right to their own destruction. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. A perfect life, the right yoke, is a life of service. We are his workmanship, according to the letter to the church at Ephesus. And that's another thing. I always emphasize that these letters, the epistles, are to churches, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, and so on. If you'll notice, to the church at, to the church at, to the church at, and it names that. And it's written to Christians. Who is a Christian? One that has obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anyway, life of service, the right yoke, is to realize that we are his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works. And God had prepared, you know, that we all should walk in these things. And so many things we could point out about life is a service, proper service. But I want to get on to this next one. The proper yoke is evangelism. Evangelism. You know what that word means? Well, this simple this. Just go out here and tell the world, tell somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God to save you from your sins. Evangelism. Many become Christians that never tell a single soul that they're Christians. Many become Christians and never tell you or never preach and teach the simple gospel that God loves his humankind. God loves his creation. And he wants you to be saved. He wants me to be saved before you could be saved by me. I must be saved. I must have obeyed the gospel to really teach it. Have you ever heard the devil teaching anybody to become a Christian, a child of God? He doesn't do it, does he? He doesn't do it. Personal evangelism. Teaching the things of this book. There's lots of ways to do it. Let me tell you a little eye-opener. You know, you've got somebody sitting here got these little hangs and things that you can punch buttons and roll and scroll, and you could go all over the world this morning with what's in your hand. What if you had that little rascal and you're standing here before the Apostle Paul or Peter or James or any of them, and you say, "Here is a device that I can talk to somebody right here just a moment or two in China. I can talk to somebody in South America. I can talk," they didn't even know there was no South America. "I can talk," that I know of, "I can talk to somebody on the moon." what would Paul have said? He said, well, you know, we've got couriers. The Romans are not too bad. They've got some couriers that run between a few of these countries. Well, I could get a letter up to Macedonia in 2 or 3 days. Whereas today, you can mail a letter from Mooresville, North Carolina, for just a few pennies, and send it to almost everywhere in the whole wide world. Now, what am I getting at? That today we have the ability to teach the gospel of Christ by airways, by mail, all of these things that they didn't have. But they went into all of the world preaching and teaching the gospel. They went on their feet, riding a donkey perhaps. I don't know. It don't ever tell me that in the book. But I heard a man say it one time. Brother Floyd Doggett, who preached the gospel meeting here, the guy I really loved years ago and lived over in Tennessee, about two-thirds, three-fourths, no more than that. He's nine-tenths blind, legally blind. But he'd get off of here by hanging on, looking, you know, staring. And anyway, he had memorized the New Testament pretty much before he started going blind. And Brother Doggett had a radio program. This other guy, denominational preacher, had a radio program. It was right before or after his, I forgot which. But he said Paul, Saul as he was, of Tarsus, was going down the road to Damascus. And this bright light hit him that he fell off of his donkey. And I've heard another man say that too. Where do you find that in the scripture? Where do you find that in the scripture? It isn't there, is it? It's not there. We don't know how he was traveling. Probably walking. But he wasn't riding no donkey that we know of. Anyway, Brother Doggett waited there, and when the man come out of the radio station, he questioned him over that. Absolutely brought it to his attention. That's what we need to do. When people are teaching error, and we have opportunity, let us teach them and show. Let's just open the Bible. Say, can you show me that? There in the book of Acts. Let's turn to the book of Acts chapter 9. Can you see that? What does the Bible say? That's what evangelism is. We'll tell you one more story. We've run out of time always before I get through. But nevertheless, in Madagascar, see, the gospel's all over the world. Heard about this fellow, Tim Hammond. Many years he's went to Madagascar because he could speak Portuguese. And he learned the language very well. The people of Madagascar had been controlled or ruled or whatever by the Portuguese for nearly 400 years, from the 1400s, 1800s, before the colony was freed, you know, independent. There was a powerful preacher over there in Madagascar. He was charismatic. He kept people's attention, and he worked day and night in converting people to his denomination. Well, we have a brother who had the right yoke. He knew what yoke he followed. That's the yoke of Christ. And he somehow met this man and talked to him by the scriptures. This preacher actually came to him through a Bible correspondence called, questioning some things. But our brother taught him the simple way of truth through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this man was converted, now an elderly person. 28 congregations he had started, denominational congregations in Madagascar. He was converted and he was sad and he was sick to his heart. He said, I have been teaching these people wrong all these years. And he did the right thing. He went back to every single congregation and talked to them and taught them the simple scriptures, you know, about Jesus Christ. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What was baptism for? Well, he'd been teaching belief all his years. He could see that baptism was for the remission of sins. to wash away, W-A-S-H. That's a simple word. My daddy and a lot of other folks that had that Scottish ancestry put an R in there. You wash, W-A-R-S, you know, wash clothes. Always tickled me when I heard it. I never got used to it. But he could read how that he that believeth that is baptized shall be saved. He could read that that's what the early church taught. He could read in the second chapter of Acts how these people realized they had crucified Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And they cried out, wait a minute, man, that would be something. You'd feel terrible. What shall we do? Repent and be baptized into one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. He went back to 28 congregations teaching them in just a little less than a couple of years' time. 28, almost all the congregations was converted. They were the name of the churches of Christ today. I can't find a single example of that here in the U.S. Can you? No. But the people were willing to change because they realized, hey, we haven't completely obeyed the gospel. We're not following the right yoke. We're not bound to the right Savior here. Evangelism. Evangelism. I'll cut out a note here and pass this on to you. This is it right here. Somebody said, if you plant a church, you may not get a disciple. But if you make a disciple, you always plant a church. See how you make a disciple? They did in the first century, did they not? These congregations had elders and so on too, which these over here in Madagascar did. They changed their organization. Not one guy over everybody, lording over a bunch of congregations. They put elders in every congregation. Personal evangelism. The yoke of complete obedience. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. He wrote, see, you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. Do you obey the truth? The truth is what saves us. The truth will set you free. From John, the doctrine of Jesus Christ is here. It's before us. Choose the right yoke. We are yoked with God, working together with Him. 2 Corinthians 6. Receive not the grace of God in vain. Receive it as the grace of God, the Word of God. It is, this book, the Word of God. As when we team with Christ, we're teaming with the other servants of Jesus Christ. All the children of God can work together. Are you a child of God? That's a person that is yoked with Christ. Have you obeyed the gospel? Do you realize without obedience to the gospel that you're out of Christ? We are baptized into Christ. We put on Christ through obedience to the gospel. We have been planted together is another word. Planted. Planted that the seed can grow, that we can arise and walk in a newness of life. When we do that, then we are yoking ourselves with Christ, aren't we? Following Him as Lord and Savior. That's a wonderful thing to be a child of God and yoked with Christ. The gospel invitation is just an encouragement time for you that if you've never obeyed the gospel, that you will do so. You can do it. The water is ready. Well, I hear it humming back there. We'll turn that thing off. Don't want you electrocuted. We just want you washed. Your old sins are washed away. You are buried in the waters to arise from it a new person, a new life, and live that life faithfully to Jesus Christ. Don't never go off into the world and go off into some other doctrine. That makes me just as sick and bad as it does to hear that somebody died. It breaks my heart to hear that a brother or sister that knew the way of truth and partially indulged it, and then go off into the world, start following some other doctrine. It is terrible. It is sickening. Don't do it. Remain faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Who said that? Who said that? Was it not the Spirit of Christ? The Spirit revealing that in Revelation, the last part of chapter 2 and verse 10. The song is announced, number 69. If anybody needs to obey the gospel, do it. If you're a child of God that has gone astray, according to Acts chapter 8, as Simon was told, we'll pray with you. We'll help you. We'll assist you any way that we can. That if you will repent and turn back to God and grab that yoke of Christ as if you're holding hands, then do it for eternity. Dennis, lead us in a song. We pray you will come as we stand and sing.